From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Wednesday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. I am Chase Palm. A happy Valentine's Day to all of you out there. I remain solo here in the Clark Ford studio as Neil is still occupied with his civic duty, I guess you could say. Can't say a whole lot more than that. And he'll join us in a bit, though. He can do that. Get about 20 minutes with Neil discussing Andy Kennedy, who was very emotional, despondent, upset, not even really agitated, more upset following Ole Miss's loss to Arkansas, the sixth straight defeat for the Rebels this season. They had an 11-0 run that kind of gave some hope in the second half, and then once they cut it to 1 point for the third time in the half, Arkansas ran away with it. I think we ended up winning by 11. My game story, or really column on Kennedy a little bit, on rebelgrove.com. Also, the video, the press conference from last night of AK is embedded in that. It is on rebelgrove.com as well. As you can check that out there. Neil will join us. Also joining us today, Aaron Fitt, D1Baseball.com, national writer, one of the great guys in the business. And he's going to talk a little bit about Ole Miss. We're going to talk a little bit about Winthrop, Tulane, Long Beach State, Ole Miss's schedule as a whole. So get a little time with Aaron. Just like I said, great guy, great baseball mind, and he'll join us today on the podcast that is brought to you by the Oxford Exxon, Highway 6 West in Oxford. Go get some ribs, go get some lunch specials that are $4.99, and get your tickets to the FCA banquet, or sorry, breakfast going on February 24th. I guess it's kind of a banquet on the Ole Miss campus. Evan Ingram is the guest there. Craddock Oil, again, the presenting sponsor. So get your tickets, OleMissFCA.com, or just give them a call and they can help you out. Great time before Ole Miss and Tulane later in the day for baseball. And as I mentioned, I'm in the Clark Ford studio. 2662-257-1900 is the number for Clark Ford, Highway 25 South. And when you give Corey a call, he gets you a quote in 15 minutes. Shop it around. Take the quote. Get a great deal there with Clark Ford. When you're done with negotiations, tell them about the podcast. $500 off your savings there at Clark Ford. Just for mentioning this here podcast, we had Baseball Media Day yesterday. Mike Bianco spoke to the media, as did several players. Ryan Robinson, the Friday night starter. Brady Feigl, the Saturday starter this week on opening weekend. Ryan Olenek also spoke, as did Dallas Wolfolk, the All-American closer. So those guys available to the media. Also last night, I wrote a story on Will Etheridge. He's going to start out on the back end of the bullpen as Ole Miss really tries to shorten games, make things complicated for opponents in the late innings, with Etheridge, Will Stokes, and the aforementioned Wolfolk. So really nice bullpen there, as well as a lot of middle relief help with Houston Roth and others. So Mike talked about expectations, about being a little older. He mentioned that last year they only had six players on the active roster that were juniors or seniors. That's up to 14 this year. A lot of the sophomores played a ton as freshmen, so they are a more experienced group, maybe a more well-rounded group that opens at number 9 in the country per D1Baseball.com. And again, they play Winthrop, if the weather will allow, at 4 o'clock on Friday for opening day. Should be a good matchup. Winthrop throwing, or at least I think they are throwing, the Big South pitcher of the year. Aaron will talk about that a little bit as well. So rotation this weekend, as I mentioned, Ryan Rollison, the left-hander. Curveball so much better than last year. Changeup developing as well. A true three-pitch mix for Rollison. He was Cape Cod, one of the top pitchers in the Cape last summer. He is the number two or number three, I kind of forget it mixed up, college player in America per D1 Baseball. So again, he's going to start things out for Ole Miss on Friday. Feigl, who hasn't had the career necessarily from a results-wise, but has really good stuff on Saturday. And then James McArthur on Sunday. He was the Friday night starter for Ole Miss at times last year. Big right-hander, a live fastball. If the off-speed stuff and he kind of stays in command, he can be very, very dominant. So I'm curious to see James on Sunday. I pretty much hit the lineup defensively for Ole Miss when I tried to guess it yesterday. There's a couple of oars in there, but for the most part, it is pretty set. Thomas Dillard, back as a sophomore, going to play left field. Will Golson, the fourth position in 4 years for Will Golson. He's in center. Ryan Olenek in right field. Olenek joked that he had talked to Mike Bianco about potentially playing all nine positions in one game at one point this year, where he alternates and does a different one each inning. He has the ability to do that. He's done everything but pitch and catch to this point. Told me he wouldn't mind catching as well, just to see how it went. Tyler Keenan or Tim Elko at third base. So a true freshman is going to get the start at third base for Ole Miss. Keenan would be my guess, but it might be a left-right thing. I don't know. We'll see how they play that out. Gray Kessinger back at shortstop. And then Anthony Servideo or Jacob Adams at second base. One is a true freshman. One's a JUCO transfer. Both really good defensively, but a newcomer will play second base, replacing Tate Blackman. Nick Fortes at first. He'll catch some, including probably one game this weekend. And then maybe also another left-right mix at DH with Tim Rowe, Chase Cockrell, and other guys can factor in. Cole Zabowski and others. Again, Cooper Johnson will be the catcher, but Fortes will get some looks as well. And don't really know who's going to lead off. It's something everybody keeps asking. They said potentially it's Adams or Servideo. I think Golson maybe is just the default setting if they need someone to lead off in that spot. So we'll see. But we're going to go to Aaron in just a minute. We're going to talk a lot of baseball with him, including some news out of Long Beach State yesterday as their ace, John Sheeks, tore his UCL in practice a few days ago. That is the Tommy John ligament. He's out for the season, so Long Beach State, they're known for pitching, known for defense. Going to be an interesting test for Ole Miss in a couple weeks, but they're going to do so without any weekend starts returning. They lost two guys to eligibility in the draft, and then now Sheik's out as well. I think he was their Sunday starter last year, so they are struggling a little bit from an experience standpoint on the mound. Huge blow there for Long Beach State. So it opens up Friday against Winthrop at 4 o'clock. So now let's go to Aaron Fitt and talk to him about a little SEC baseball, specifically Ole Miss baseball, here on the Rebel Locker Room Hotline. Aaron, thanks for coming on this morning. I was listening to you guys' Top 25 podcast a few weeks ago. I think I actually pulled a quote out and put it on my site. You're a bit of a believer in this Ole Miss offense, so tell me why.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to like here. You know, I mean, from a talent standpoint, certainly we know that it's there. I mean, they brought in some really blue-chip pieces a year ago, and those guys, you know, they kind of had to learn as they went. You know, they threw them right into the fire. But it was a young team, and typically we find that, you know, those freshmen that have to take their lumps and struggle early on in their careers, they take a step forward as sophomores. They benefit from the fact that, you know, they have that experience under their belts now, and the ability is there. You know, I really like, you know, that sophomore class in particular, is the shortstop. I think Kessinger's gotten a lot stronger. I think he's ready to take that step forward offensively. We know he can really defend. You know, certainly I've heard the same thing about Cooper Johnson, as a guy that looks like a breakout candidate, and Thomas Dillard. I mean, you know, he can flat rake, I think. You know, and he's so much more athletic than he looks too. He's really, I think, an exciting player. I love Nick Fortes. You know, I just think that guy is one of the more underappreciated players in the SEC. He can catch, play first base. He can really hit. I just, you know, offensively, I feel like they can be pretty complete. The defense should be very good, especially up the middle. Very high on that freshman second baseman, Anthony Servideo, that they've got there. He's a good-looking athlete with a nice swing. I think he's going to perform right away. I mean, there's a lot to like here, and they got a couple of veteran guys back too, as you know, with Ryan Olenek out there and Golson certainly. I don't know. I just feel like it's a balanced club that's learned from a year ago and is ready to take a step forward.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned it. I look at them offensively, and if everything works, it really looks pretty good. The only concern a little bit, and I know college baseball is not about tons of home runs and power and whatnot, but you do need a little bit. They're still, you know, they're trying to replace Tate Blackman, who had kind of an undervalued, really big OPS last year, and then Colby Bortles. But defensively, you hit it. They're going to be so much better with Servideo than Blackman, and kind of some ability from a defensive standpoint, that they've got a chance to just kind of improve there. They're going to pitch it and maybe be comfortable and mature enough to win a lot of low-scoring close games.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. You know, I think it's probably safe to say it's still not going to be a huge home run hitting team, although I know they like you know, the chance for some of these returnees and some of the newcomers to bring some pop. I think this Tyler Keenan kid also is a chance to really provide some left-handed power for him. So, you know, I think ultimately it's going to be a team that pitches very well, defends very well, and has a deep lineup that can hurt you 1-9 rather than necessarily bashing you over the head in the middle. You know, maybe there'll be a few less beer showers out there in right field, but I think it'll be worth it because I think they're going to win more games. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, when you talk about the pitching, it's a deep pitching staff. That's maybe more than anything else the thing that you like about this team is the firepower on the mound. You know, obviously we would expect Ryan Rollison now to become a kind of a superstar as a sophomore. He's got that kind of ability. He was really good in the Cape Cod League. He seemed like he put it all together. And, you know, I think he's got top of the rotation stuff and pitchability, too, from the left side. So, you know, but behind him, I mean, there's not a huge drop-off with I think a lot of different options there. Brady Feigl certainly has been around and has a good arm, and MacArthur as well. He's, you know, had a chance to pitch in the past, the top of the rotation. He's got big game experience. I mean, if he's pitching on Saturday or even Sunday, it's a pretty nice weapon to have there. So, you know, Holston and Woolfolk and Stokes, I mean, it's just, you know, there's a lot of guys that are going to be quality contributors. A lot of them are proven already. I think it's going to be one of the best bullpens in the country, and I think that's a huge advantage in those close late games.
Yeah, they've announced on Tuesday, Rollison, Feigl, MacArthur will be Friday, Saturday, Sunday against Winthrop. And, you know, you mentioned they're going to be able to shorten games so much because of Etheridge and Stokes and Woolfolk at the back end. This thing gets really complicated for opponents by the time the seventh inning rolls around, by the time that that those guys get into the game. And they start off, I want to ask you, I know I have a ton of time, I want to ask you here, I think they've got a fairly, at least, intriguing opening weekend with Winthrop. They've got a couple of arms with Winthrop coming back. They've got a lot of offensive guys. It's kind of that team where I feel like if they don't play well, Ole Miss could run into a little bit of trouble on this opening weekend.
You're right. I mean, Winthrop is the favorite in the Big South. They're actually kind of the overwhelming favorite, you know, in the ballots that we sent out to Big South coaches. I think everybody pretty much voted Winthrop number one. So they're the team to beat. And you're right about the front-end pitching, too. I saw both of their top two guys. I don't know if they've officially announced their rotation this weekend, but I would expect it'll be Zach Peek and Nate Polchek. And those guys have good stuff. You know, I saw them in the summer. I mean, Peak, maybe 92-94, you know, maybe touch a five with a pretty darn good breaking ball, too. And you know, I think that's a guy that is kind of a breakout candidate now. He had a good year ago, but he's kind of like in that Rollison group. He's not as good as Rollison. He's not that high profile, but he's a guy that pitched 70 innings a year ago, and he'll make a big jump now, I think. And you know, he's got a chance to be pretty good. And the other kid, Polchek, you know, is more of a funky, you know, veteran guy, but he's got some deception. He'll be up to 92, spins a pretty good slider. So that's a good 1-2 punch to run into opening weekend. And they have some pieces in the lineup, too, that are quality veteran guys. It's not, you know, huge star power offensively, but I think Mitch Spires is a really nice player, can swing the bat very well, mature hitter, who'd be a shortstop for him. And then you know, I've heard good things, too, about their second baseman, Grant English, is a guy that kind of took a big step forward in the fall. Switch-hitting guy, you know, has a little bit of strength in the swing and looks like another breakout candidate. So, you know, it's a good middle infield to kind of build around. And, you know, and again, I think the supporting cast is just pretty solid. So it's just one of those teams that probably won't beat themselves. It's a pretty well-coached club. They got some experience, and so that's not an easy draw for early in the season.
Any idea what they're doing with Colton Rendon? Because he kind of stuck out to me. I noticed he had a 1.17 ERA and an under 200 BAA in conference play. He got banged up in non-conference, but he was really good in the Big South last year.
Yeah, you're right. And my expectation is he's going to pitch on Sunday. Now, I haven't checked with them, you know, in the last week or two to see if that's officially what they're doing. But, he's got a good arm. And like you said, he really did come on in conference play last year. I think he was actually their most consistent guy over the course of the season, especially in conference. But he's a four-pitch guy. You know, you see him up to 91. He's got a kind of a splitty that he throws in addition to a pretty good curveball. And it can locate all three of them. So, it's funny, didn't even mention that guy, but that's a solid weekend rotation all the way through.
next weekend, Ole Miss hosts what typically would be a very high-profile weekend, at least in the region, with Tulane coming off that rough season. Tulane actually beat Ole Miss in the 16 regional to eliminate the Rebels the last time Ole Miss was in the postseason. But what are we making of the Green Wave? Are they going to be competitive, or what's kind of coming in here next weekend?
Yeah, I think they're a little bit down on paper, and we'll see. A lot will depend on the JUCO guys they brought in. They're really putting all their eggs in that basket because they underachieved last year, but they had a lot of seniors in that club last year, and so they've got a lot of pieces to replace. But they've got some sophomores that need to take steps forward, especially in the infield with Cody Hosey and Sal Gazzo, two guys that they thought were going to be better as freshmen last year, and they both really struggled. You guys know a little bit about that, at Ole Miss. I mean, it's the same kind of deal. They had some guys that just need to get better, and so we'll see if they do. I don't think the talent with those guys, though, is at the level of the Ole Miss sophomores, so I don't maybe have as much confidence in those guys. But, Grant Witherspoon is a very good player. He's their best guy, center field, really nice left-handed swing with strength and speed and athleticism. He's kind of one of those do-it-all guys that we would expect to have a big junior year, but I'm not really bullish on the supporting cast there. And it's just hard to know what to expect of all their JUCO guys, especially on the mound. They're going to lean on a bunch of these newcomers that haven't really necessarily pitched in Division I before. My expectation is Caleb Roper, their Friday guy, is a JUCO transfer. Ross Massey had a great year 2 years ago. He pitched in that regional in Oxford, and then he just went backwards in a crazy way last year. I never would have guessed. I mean, he had an ERA of almost 10 last year in 35 innings. It's not like it's a small sample size. I don't know how that's even possible for a guy that was a freshman All-American the year before. So one of those great mysteries in college baseball. That's a huge key to their season, whether he can get it figured out.
Yeah, the next weekend, too, I'm actually going out there. I'm pretty excited about it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Ole Miss at Long Beach State in a couple weeks. Dirtbags coming off, obviously, the Super Regional last year. And Ole Miss having to experience that style of baseball, really, Cooper getting tested, some of the defense getting tested. Long Beach State with a really, really nice middle infield there to challenge Ole Miss defensively. What do you kind of expect from them? And obviously, they've caught a blow this week with Sheets out with Tommy John.
Yeah, that is a big blow. Really, he's, I think, the best pure arm on their staff, because otherwise they don't have a lot of power guys on the mound. It's kind of pitchability guys, breaking ball guys, changeup guys. So that's what you can expect to see. But, in some ways, that's harder for an SEC team to face. It's like when the collegiate national team has to face, Taiwan or somebody. And it's just like, and I used to see him, constantly pitching backwards, It's just a different style. And so maybe get used to that a little bit. And that's not to downplay these guys. I mean, they got some decent arms. Chris Rivera, their closer, is a quality college pitcher, and he can show you 92, that kind of thing. So they got a few guys with some arm strength, but mostly it's going to be pitchability and funk and craftiness on the mound for them. You're right. The middle infield is kind of the strength there. Lane Hoffman is a senior shortstop who's back for him. Very just steady defender, makes all the plays. It's not huge tools like some of the shortstops they've had in the past. He's not Tulowitzki or Longoria, but he's a good college player, and so is Jaron Duran over at second base. Guy who brings some speed and kind of the lifeblood of that team. He brings all the energy. Very good defender. So good up the middle. They have a freshman catcher, but a guy that I like quite a bit, named Chris Jimenez. So maybe Ole Miss can put their speed to work a little bit as well, and test that freshman catcher out there.
Yeah, it seems like out of most SEC teams, Ole Miss might be one of the better suited to play kind of a West Coast style of baseball.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we talked about earlier with the way that they're going to pitch and defend. I think they're going to do both those things at a very high level. And, especially you're playing the West Coast team, especially when you're on the West. And that series is on the road, correct?
Yeah, it's at Long Beach.
Yeah. I mean, you're not going to hit home runs at Blair Field, especially at night. But, you better be able to execute. That's just the reality out there.
Look at the SEC schedule. I know I don't have you a whole lot longer, but Ole Miss, they've kind of got to just survive, in my opinion, when I'm looking at this schedule over the course of those 10 weekends, because their finish is very, very gettable. They close this thing with Georgia, LSU, which obviously has a lot of new pieces, but they're good. But then South Carolina, Alabama, and then in Auburn, when Auburn, by that point, Casey Mize, who knows what's up with his arm if he stays healthy throughout the year. But a very gettable late in the season. But early on, Tennessee with a new coach could surprise a little bit in the first weekend, still kind of playing, you know, with vinegar in their veins. And then a back-to-back stretch of A&M and Arkansas before Mississippi State. It is a strange kind of top-heavy, bottom-half gettable schedule for the Rebels.
Yeah, you're right. And it's, you know, the tricky thing about this league is you never know who's going to jump up year to year, right? I mean,
yeah.
We had South Carolina and Auburn as teams that weren't in our preseason top 25 but weren't far out of it. And, you know, there's question marks that both those teams have to answer, but it wouldn't surprise me if both those teams wind up being pretty darn good. I would be surprised if Alabama is any good. I think that's a series that you would – it's not a bad way to finish the year, put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia is a team that I do think, you know, could sneak up a little bit this year. I don't know. Nobody's talking about Georgia. They haven't done anything in the entire time Scott Strickland's been there, but they got some interesting guys. You know, again, like Ole Miss, played a lot of freshmen last year, took their lumps, but they got some talent, and they're deeper on the mound than they have been in 5 or 6 years, and they could be a sleeper here. Now, Tennessee, I'm not particularly a believer in. I saw both those teams, Tennessee and Georgia, in the fall, and Tennessee, I walked away and kind of thought, yeah, I think they're going to take their lumps this year. They're just not that deep, and they've got some issues on the infield. But Georgia, I think, could be a little dangerous. So you never know. Again, I mean, trying to forecast this league before the season starts is a fool's errand that we undertake every year anyway, because I guess we're fools. Who knows? I think it's going to be a fun schedule, but you're right. That stretch with A&M, Arkansas, Mississippi State, Vanderbilt in the middle of the season, boy, that'll show you a lot about this Ole Miss team. If they can weather that, then they got a chance to be pretty darn good.
Maybe one position player, one pitcher. If somebody told you and gave you a stat book for Ole Miss on two players to kind of dictate their season, who would you pick?
Let's say, I mean, I think Kessinger's really a key. You know, I mean, he's such a good defender. You need his glove in the lineup, but you can't have a guy hit 175, you know, again.
Especially you know, with Cooper kind of there, too, hole. If he doesn't step up, because you could have two of them.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. So, you know, those two guys, I would say, up the middle, those are the key, I think, to the lineup. I mean, I think at this point we can expect, you know, Dillard and Golson and Olenek and, you know, Fortis. Those guys are going to hit. If Kessinger and Johnson hit two, then this could be a pretty darn good offensive team. And on the mound, I mean, yeah, how about Brady Feigl? Yeah, I feel like this guy's been kind of a tease over the course of his career. He's got good stuff. He's always had good stuff. He's shown flashes of being very good. He can throw strikes. I don't frankly understand why he hasn't had a better career than he's had to this point. You know, he's been okay, but, I mean, let's see him now take that step forward and be that horse on Saturday. That's so important, that second game of the series. And it sounds like they're going to count on him to be that guy. You know, that's the swing game. You can either clinch a series or avoid getting, you know, a series clinched against you on that Saturday game. So it's also a game where you need somebody to work deep into the game just to spare your bullpen, especially if they're taxed on Friday nights, which – typically they won't be, you would hope, with Rollison out there. But Feigl, to me, is kind of the key, I think, on the mound.
You can be read at D1 Baseball. Where are you headed this weekend? Who are you watching?
I'm going to go down to Florida. I'll see UCF's got a tournament down there with Rice and Virginia. But and then Friday night, I'm going to see North Carolina at South Florida. We're going to see Shane McClanahan, who's a pretty big arm for the Bulls. So, yeah, getting around a little bit opening weekend, and hopefully I'm sure I'll run into the Rebels at some point. I always make my annual pilgrimage to Oxford, so I can't miss that one.
Yeah, well, I appreciate the time, Aaron, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, Chase, my pleasure.
Right. Thanks to Aaron for giving us a few minutes. I know his schedule's pretty busy. He's got a lot going on with the season starting here in a few days. We're going to jump into our conversation with Neil McCready and talk some basketball in a second. First, tell you the podcast brought to you in part by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting that understands your market. Also a leader in condo financing and the float down option, which allows you to lock in the rate. But if the rate goes down before you close, you get that lower rate. 662-234-2704, JLOWE, J-L-O-W-E, at communitymtg.com. Podcast also brought to you by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape. You can give them a call at 662-607-7773 or mastercutslawn.com, because you signed an annual contract. You mentioned the podcast, First Cut's free when the weather warms up and you need someone to take care of your yard every couple weeks, each month, as is so needed. Also, they can build things for you, including an outdoor living area, outdoor kitchen, pergola, fence, deck, and more there with MasterCuts. I've been using them for a while, and they can help you out too. Again, 662-607-7773. Also, podcast brought to you in part by Tyson Drugs, tysondrugs.com. They're in Holly Springs. You can give them a call at 662-252-2321 or go to that website. You can fill out forms. You can just let them know what you need. They'll contact your doctor for you and get it delivered wherever you are. Great service there in Holly Springs. They also now are the owners of G&M Pharmacy in Oxford. They deliver local in Oxford also. So wherever you are, they can help you out. Again, tysondrugs.com. Aaron said he's headed to Florida this week. Obviously, I will be in Oxford. And the Rebels getting started prior to a challenging non-conference and then maybe a season defining, as I mentioned with Aaron, few early weeks of SEC play. So if the weather will hold off, as of right now, not looking really, really good for this weekend just from a forecast standpoint. Ole Miss, typically the Swayze Field drains well. Things typically work out to get games in, but as of right now, 80% showers on Friday, 60% on Friday night, 80% showers on Saturday, 30 on Saturday night, and then Sunday, a little bit of a break at 20% and 30% on Sunday night. Because remember, Winthrop, located in Rock Hill, South Carolina, they've got to make a flight, so there's probably going to be some travel curfew issues. I don't know how much baseball can get done if they're behind by the time Sunday gets here. So this could be a bit of a difficulty this weekend. Might be some trouble getting everything in. We'll see. Ole Miss, again, typically gets it accomplished, but going to have the work cut out if those forecasts hold. So now let's go to Neil McCready. Let's talk to him about basketball and Andy Kennedy here on the Rebel Locker Room Hotline. Neil, good morning. I hope we're back in the same room sometime soon. I'll be honest. I respect your need to be doing something else right now, but kind of tired of it, just to be honest. So then we'll get back to normal business in a day or so.
I can't really say much, but yeah. Me too.
Yeah, no, I know. It is what it is. So last night I covered the basketball game. Arkansas wins by 11 against Ole Miss. Ole Miss scores a lot of points early. They have an 11-0 run at one point in the second half, but frankly, it was disjointed and looked like a lot of other games for Ole Miss last year. The story became Andy Kennedy after the game is a.k.a. Despondent, emotional press conference video up at rebelgrove.com for anyone that hasn't seen it. And really at a loss for words or actions, and there's a lot of different ways to look at it, but the main point of view was just kind of sad for me that it's ending this way. It's not going to have a burst of energy on the way out. Even maybe like Kim Anderson did a little bit at Missouri, even though that was nowhere near the heralded tenure that AK is here. It feels like a ship that's just going to get filled more and more with water until St. Louis and an exit in the conference tournament.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I didn't see the game. I saw parts of it. I didn't see much of it. I did watch the video, read your story, watch the video. It's baffling. This guy that's been coaching for 12 years, 13 years. His Cincinnati team played its ass off and overachieved. A lot of his Ole Miss teams, frankly, overachieved. Some of his Ole Miss teams ran out of gas. They never ran out of heart. This one has just never felt right. He's talked all year about no sense of urgency. He's talked about just kind of a lack of intensity. Good kids. Like he said, he could call a practice at 5 in the morning. They'd all be there, every one of them. And nobody would complain. They would show up. They're good kids. But they don't have that fire. And if you ever – and I don't know that you're old enough to remember, but I remember Andy Kennedy, the UAB basketball player. He had fire. And you've certainly seen Andy Kennedy, the coach. And he's an intense guy. having a sense of urgency has never been an Andy Kennedy problem. It's never been a deficiency. Having a will and a want to and a fire to fight for the name on the front of the jersey and the name on the back of the jersey has never been an issue for Andy Kennedy. And so this is baffling for him, and you could see it. And, I thought it was a remarkable statement on his part. And I've tried to avoid message boards this week for obvious reasons completely. So I don't really know what people have said, but I just get the impression just from seeing just titles that some people are saying, maybe even SEC people are saying that he called out his players. Well, you know what? Sometimes your players deserve to be called out. And sometimes when you're accepting all of the blame and trying to give an honest answer to a fan base that is wanting an answer, to an administration that is wanting an answer, to media that is asking a question, when you're giving an honest answer, sometimes the truth hurts. I didn't think he threw anybody under the bus. He didn't call out any player by name. Just said, there's no fight. I mean, and at this point, he's not challenging his team. He's not saying, hey, fellas, come on, let's do this. Let's win one for the Gipper. Let's make a magic run. He's basically saying, maybe it's me. Maybe I need to walk away. Yeah, I'd walk away. You know, I mean, I think it's the first time that he's ever been in 13 years embarrassed by the product on the floor.
Yeah, his message to his players wasn't even necessarily to play for him. It was, hey, you've only got so many of these opportunities. You're a college basketball player. It's going to be gone. Stop wasting every night. And it feels like they are. And, I mean, is this a crazy statement? Because is it possible he did lay the groundwork to potentially not be the coach in St. Louis?
I guess maybe. You know, I haven't had a chance to talk to him, obviously.
Yeah.
I don't think so. Look, I probably know Andy as well as you know Mike Bianco. Pretty transparent. There's not a lot of BS with Andy Kennedy. Never has been. He's not a guy to go talking in circles to get to a point. He'll go right to the point. I think he was being honest. I suspect he looked Ross Bjork in the eye and said, if you think it would be best for me to walk away, I'll walk away right now. And I think Ross Bjork probably said, no, I don't think that's the answer. And I don't think that is the answer. I don't think – I mean, who's going to step in? Is Raheem Lockhart going to change the equation? He's there now. Nothing against Raheem. Is Todd Abernathy going to change the equation? He's there now. You're going to play hard for Todd but not hard for Andy? I mean, Andy's touched on this before. This is a society thing. I won't get on a soapbox here. We can save it for another day. For all these guys, they're going to walk off a floor in St. Louis in, 3 weeks?
Yeah.
And that's it. I mean, none of these guys are playing in the NBA. I mean, someone projected Terrence Davis as a first-round draft choice. That was one of the most laughable things I've ever seen. I really question whether the person watches the National Basketball Association. These guys, I mean, I think he's making a valid point. Some of these guys need to understand they're going to walk off a floor and they're never going to play basketball again, with the exception of maybe play at the Y.
It depends how big of a scope you want to do here, specific, general. I mean, last night he said that Saturday against LSU was the most embarrassed he's been as a college coach for the product he put on the floor until last night. And last night was the same thing that I've seen on television throughout the year and everything else. They have no front court, so it's all on the guards. And then it's not just all on the guards. It's all on three guards to be consistent every single night. And they're not good enough that if one guy has an off night, they can't win in the SEC. I mean, last night, Markelle Crawford played really well. DeAndre Burnett was best I've seen him since early in last year when he had a couple of those spurts. And Terrence Davis just non-existent. And when you have nothing else, they're missing layups. If anything, they're slow getting back on D. They gave up so many open looks because of a lack of urgency to get back on defense last night. And that's where it is. I mean, there is one recipe for Ole Miss basketball to win basketball games. That's it. There's no little more garlic or change something. It's one recipe, and if it's not perfect, there's no chance.
Yeah, and it's hard to win in a good league like that. And look, Arkansas's not a good road team.
No, they're awful.
Arkansas's not they're not a particularly good team. They've got a couple of good guards. That freshman's a good player. But they didn't get a lot of great guard play yesterday from what I saw. And, I mean, they were right to be beaten. But Ole Miss doesn't know how to finish games. I mean, it's too late now. I mean, obviously, it's the focus is on the future. But I'm going to tell you, whoever walks into this job in late March or whenever he walks into it, it's a lot to address. I mean, you got to look some people in the eye and have a fresh conversation with, do you really want to play basketball? And no, I'm not talking about Terrence Davis going and playing football. I mean, some of that is just, you know me, that's a pet peeve. I want to scream. It's not as simple as just walking onto the football field and going, oh, okay, well, hand me a helmet. I'm ready to go. Terrence has basketball skills, but he's got to become a more focused basketball player. He's got to become a more focused person. I mean, you can't miss at the rim like that. You have to play. If there is any NBA future in his life, he has got to become a much more aggressive, intellectual, instinctive defender. Just gotta that's a requirement. And for the people that say, well, Andy Kennedy doesn't coach that, that's BS. He coaches defense, but a lot of defense is focus and effort and instincts and intensity and attention to detail and focus and some of that stuff that's just not taught. And, you know, Andy talked about becoming softer, and only he could elaborate on what that means. I don't know what that means. I mean, I've heard, you know, stories about his practices when he first got to Ole Miss, and you can't do that stuff anymore. You won't keep your job.
Yeah, he shocked everybody on campus when he first got here. I mean, it was stories throughout every building on campus. Oh my God, the madman over there, Ted Smith.
Yeah, I mean, Orgeron, like he didn't rip his shirt off, but
it worked.
But, you know, it worked.
He got a team that wasn't very good to play hard.
And I told you I wouldn't get on a soapbox, and I won't. I mean, I'm only a 48-year-old man, but I'm telling you, it's different 12 years later. I don't know that you can do that same thing 12 years now that you could do 12, 13 years ago. I don't know that that would work.
Well, I mean, Todd's not emulating that, what he heard from Andy that first year by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
And I get it's not his personality, but still.
Yeah. I mean, Raheem's not doing that. I mean, I don't think anybody they're going to bring in is going to do that. You know, certainly these younger coaches that are going to be on the radar, those are not old school, throw the chair into the stadium guy. That's not the way I don't know. It's baffling. I'll say this. Forget what fans expected. Forget that. It doesn't matter. Forget what media expected. I'm in the media, and I can tell you, we don't know what the hell we're talking about half the time. You know that. But Andy and the people inside that program, they never saw this coming in September, in October. They didn't. They didn't see this coming. And that's the baffling part. That right there is the baffling part. Because I can remember before the season that Ole Miss went to the second round of the tournament, sitting in Andy Kennedy's office and him saying, this is a team that has a shot, a real shot, a legitimate shot to get to the second weekend of the tournament. And he basically said, here are the teams in the SEC that are going to the tournament, and he nailed it. And I've been in his office in preseason when he said, I don't think we have enough. You know, we'd have to really get fortunate. Some things would really have to go our way. We might get close, but I don't think we're going to get there. He's always been very frank. He thought this team was going to come together and peak and be a real force down the stretch. And it just hasn't happened. And it's not just on the floor. It's the part between the ears. And frankly, it's the part inside the chest.
And Andy said this Monday, said this again last night, and I mean, it just is what it is. On the flip side, it's also reason that a new voice is needed for this program, because he's admitting that he has no ability whatsoever to do much with this roster. Whatever the reason is, that is on, you know, on the staff.
Yeah, it is, and
he admitted it.
For the people who you can't indict a man for being honest, for saying, I can't reach them. That's not the same as saying I have not tried to reach them. It's not the same comment. He said, I can't reach them. Imagine how difficult that is for a head coach, a person of his stature to say on the record with cameras rolling. One thing to say it in a back room talking to a colleague. It's another thing to say that on camera. I can't reach them. They won't play for me. Imagine how difficult that is to say. Damn right he was despondent. My God, how incredibly difficult is it to say something like that? So yes, there's no question. I mean, he's acknowledged it. Everyone's acknowledged it. I wrote it a couple of weeks ago. It feels like time, and it is. And so we, at the risk of being repetitive, and we'll be repetitive a lot over the next few weeks, I suspect, it is absolutely critical.
That they
land the right guy. I think, frankly, they've got to get – when I say splash, I don't mean a media splash like a Kardashian kind of a thing. I don't mean that. But, I mean, they've got to get somebody that gets people excited.
Yeah, because they also have to find somebody they can recruit immediately before the roster goes absolute to complete hell. As the next year or two go on, but nonetheless,
they've got to go the Konzo Martin type route. They've got to get somebody in who's energy, tons of AAU contacts, can recruit, can bring guys with him immediately, can land that 19 class. Man, it's got to be big, or else this thing's going to crater otherwise. I mean, that's the interesting thing about basketball, unlike football. You can rebuild a basketball program quickly, and you can crater one just as fast.
5 games left, not going to get any easier. They're walking into a complete buzzsaw Saturday at Mississippi State, I think 7:30 for that start time. They still got home games against Tennessee and then Vanderbilt on senior night, and road trips to Kentucky and somewhere else that is – Missouri, maybe? No, maybe?
No, they go to Kentucky, and they go – yeah, they go to Missouri. Okay. Yeah, you're right. Hey, look, there's not another
teams.
W. There's only one game on the schedule that on paper looks like a possible W. And the truth about Saturday is that Ole Miss has owned them over the last, 4 or 5 years?
8 of 9.
Ole Miss has dominated that series. And – Mississippi State would love nothing more than to kick their ass. There's not going to be an Andy Kennedy sympathy party down there, because Andy Kennedy has owned them over the last half decade.
Yeah, no, he's going to catch absolute hell on Saturday night.
He's going to catch hell, and that Mississippi State team is playing to get into the tournament, and they are the definition of bubble right now, probably on the wrong side of bubble.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to be one or two short, but they're at least in that conversation when you talk to your team in the locker room.
And when you talk to your team in the locker room, it's not even about the damn rivalry and all that stuff. It's you can't lose this game.
Yeah.
You lose this game, and your path to the NCAA tournament becomes very, very easy to define, because it requires winning the SEC tournament.
Yeah.
And so, you know, for them, it's a must-win game, and they have a lot to play for. And then you throw in the rivalry, and you throw in the recent history of the rivalry, and you throw in what happened earlier in the year when Ole Miss popped them. And if Andy's team plays with the same intensity level that it's played the last 2-3 games, it's going to be ugly.
Yeah. So, we'll talk plenty about it. I don't know. A lot of content up. Again, press conference, if you haven't seen it, from last night, as well as my dispatch from the pavilion. I got in without having to ask for directions, so that was a positive, Neil. I mean,
that is good. Your basketball writing was very, very good. Yeah. Strong.
Well, I don't know that it was basketball writing. It was more just people writing. But, I was not breaking down the 1-3-1.
No, pick and roll defense is no longer the focus. the focus is now on people. It's like it always is, really, frankly. In journalism, it's on people. And
yeah,
it's on this coaching search, and it's on just how I would have never guessed. This is the part that I'm not sad about it, because I don't, you know, but it's weird. It's an odd feeling. You addressed it yesterday. I never thought it would end like this for Kennedy. It is what it is. Life's not fair, but it's almost kind of unfair for it to end like this for him.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny, you know, because I was trying to write some of that last night, and I kind of chuckled, because if you didn't have going on what you do, you would have covered the game. I'd never have thought about it. And I think from our site standpoint, our podcast standpoint, our conversations moving through this thing, it was almost good, because I'm such a fresh set of eyes that I have no preconceived notions about anything to do with that program or anything. You know what I mean? I haven't covered a game.
Sure.
I know nothing. So I just walk in and watch and go, well, that's kind of what I see. Okay. I don't, you know, there was no sure minutia of, well, I'm doing the same thing I've done 22 times this year. And,
sure.
It's
absolutely
kind of interesting, but nonetheless.
It's one of the reasons that sometimes at newspapers, they'll shake up beats just temporarily, just to give new sets of eyes and a fresh voice to something, because, you know, by the end of a baseball season, you've seen that team play 30, 35, 40 times or more. And it, you know, it almost runs together one game to the next. And sometimes, someone from another beat will see something and say, you know how it is, that they'll say, man, that team's really good, or man, that team's really weird, or that team's whatever. And you'll almost take a step back and go, yeah, I guess they kind of are, you know, because you sort of become, you know, kind of nose blind to it. I mean,
yeah.
if you live in a house with a dog, and you get used to the way that dog smells, and someone else walks into that house, they're like, oh, I smell a dog. And you're like, really? I don't smell a dog. It's that you don't notice that a team kind of starts to look a certain way.
Just everything was flat. I mean, the stands were half full, maybe, give or take. They weren't really into the game. They were kind of just talking amongst themselves, because where media sits, you hear a good bit of conversation. I had people walk up and kind of grab me, and I was walking around socializing a little bit. You've got that. I mean, frankly, less media that's going to be than is going to be at a baseball game on Friday. I mean, from a local media angle, you're talking Clarion Ledger, Daily Journal, us, Oxford Eagle, and Rumble Walk last night. I think that was it. I mean, it's just dead all the way around. There's no interest, and it's being shown in every facet of this program right now.
It's flatlined, and they're going to have to find a way to infuse adrenaline, and then also something of sustenance, or else.
Yeah, no, that's that is the word. So we'll take it from there, see where it goes. Again, Ole Miss and State Saturday. We'll talk plenty more basketball as the week moves on. Somehow it is only Wednesday. There are two more podcasts, two more days left in the week after this. So anyway, all right, Neil, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, buddy. The podcast is also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you are a business with a high-ticket product or service, that's HVAC, dentist, surgeon, flooring, furniture, etc., Ben Brown and his team have the best financing solution for your customers. Their program accesses 14 national lenders with one very easy online application, with rates as low as 4.9%, terms that extend to 7 years, loan amounts up to $100,000, and credit scores down to 580. They will get more of your customers the money they need, so you don't lose a sale. To hear more about this, call Ben Brown, 443-935-5013. Ben is waiving the setup fee for Oxford Exxon podcast listeners. That's a $500 savings, so call him today.
Everybody knows State Farm for being the number one insurer in auto, home, and life insurance. But did you know State Farm has a bank which allows them to do auto financing? Recently, State Farm has had a rate reduction in their commercial insurance rates. Give Romero Miller State Farm a chance to compare your business insurance policies. If you own a rental property, Romero challenges you to give him a shot at that property. You won't be sorry. If you need another reason to give him a call, go to Google, read Romero Miller State Farm reviews, and then if you have insurance needs in Tennessee or Mississippi, give Romero Miller State Farm a call, 662-893-1212. The podcast is also brought to you by Gambrell & Associates. Gambrell & Associates have three attorneys with more than 60 years of combined experience and more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their website at msbnkr.com or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. Superlawyers.com only selects the top 5% of lawyers in the state, so you know you're getting a good one when you get Gambrell & Associates. Gambrell & Associates handles Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando, 662-342-7700, or in Oxford, 662-281-8800. Podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you are in the market for a Nissan vehicle, Grenada Nissan is the place to go. They've got all the new 2018s, a lot of previously owned vehicles as well. If they don't have what you're looking for, they can get it for you. Great lease deals as well. Tremendous service after the sale. I've used Grenada Nissan many times. Never been anything but thrilled with my experience. You will be too. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. Rebel Nation, 2018 is the year of the fan. Ole Miss Athletics wants to showcase your stories and recognize you, the Ole Miss fan base. Exciting prizes and experiences throughout the year will be featured on omyearofthefan.com and updated often. So be sure to visit omyearofthefan.com. Ole Miss in Arkansas, Tuesday night at 6. Tickets available at olemisstix.com. That's olemisstix.com. The podcast is also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB is locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you want, all with a personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with a live person, all without having to press 10 buttons and without a 5-minute wait. OUB offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa, and with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000. And with Kasasa, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured.
As I told Neil a second ago, hopefully he's back in the Clark Ford studio tomorrow or Friday, as it's been a challenging week, but we're making the best of it. Appreciate your patience as the technology, probably what you're used to. Sound might be a little altered, disjointed podcast, but the show goes on. We're doing all we can here to get through this tough few days. So spring football starts up in a couple weeks as well. I think February 27th, the first date for that. So we're going to have all three sports kind of going on at the same time there as the Andy Kennedy era is wrapping up on the basketball court. Baseball, a couple weeks old. I guess they will be in between their series with Tulane and Long Beach State at that point. And then football cranking up. Matt Luke's first spring practice as Ole Miss head coach. So check RebelGrove.com. Again, yesterday we had a lot of content, including a look at Winthrop, Ole Miss's opponent in the season opener this weekend. We had a story on Will Etheridge about how he's in the back end of the bullpen, but it's a role that he has relished, and his teammates respect him for his ability to do so. The basketball coverage, comprehensive last night from the Pavilion in the loss to Arkansas, and then some recruiting and more there on the site at RebelGrove.com. So really appreciate Aaron, Neil, for giving us a few minutes as well, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.